Thank you, Benny. Well, good morning, everyone. Again, I would like to welcome each of you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As we come through this time of Thanksgiving, I hope each of you had a wonderful holiday, and I hope that each of you had a time to reflect as well on the blessings and all that we have to be thankful for. It is a pleasure for me to introduce our brother, and definitely needs no introduction, but I would ask for your prayers and your thoughts for our brother, Benny Case. Benny?
Thanks, Jeff. And I appreciate you dialing in this morning. We've just come through Thanksgiving, a day that we've set aside as a country to give thanks for the things that God has given us, the success that we've had. Although I'd have to admit that to a great extent, it seems as though the world, you know, or the nation has kind of forgotten that purpose, but it's still there. That was the purpose. And as I was going through studying for this sermon, it struck me how oftentimes we lack that thankfulness, that Thanksgiving spirit, because even though it's the day that we've set aside once a year, we ought to have that attitude all the time. There's some things that I'm going to bring to us this morning, but I'd like us to think a little bit as we go through these readings that I have for us today, just what God's done for us. Yesterday, I had a guy come out and fix my furnace because we had our first freeze of the season Thursday night. I guess, no, it was Friday night. And my upstairs furnace didn't work. And, you know, sometimes we think about that and we complain. I know I do, and I probably don't. But thinking about that, how many of our brothers and sisters have gone before technology and didn't have forced air heat? Maybe lived in a log cabin with a dirt floor and had to keep a fire running all night to have heat in the house, and when it was cold nights, instead of everybody sleeping in their beds, they had to do makeshift beds close to the fireplace so that they could be warm. We so often complain about the fact that our technology doesn't give us immediately what we want, not being thankful for the fact that we have it at all. I'm going to start us off here in the book of Jacob in the third chapter, and I was looking at that a little while ago in Sunday school. We had been talking about some things, and that, you know, in the second book of Nephi it has the quotes of Isaiah, and I was, at the time, I'd made the statement that thinking maybe that the second Nephi was the son of Jacob, but they're actually brothers. I know that has nothing to do with the sermon, but it's just something I realized that I'd made a mistake there during Sunday school, and that Nephi and Jacob were actually brothers. But here's Jacob kind of concluding a speech that he is making, but I just want to draw attention to the first 8 verses of the third chapter of Jacob. "Now behold, it came to pass that I, Jacob, having ministered much unto my people in word, and I cannot write but little of my words because of the difficulty of engraving our words upon plates. And we know that the things which we write upon plates must remain. But whatsoever things we write upon anything save it be upon plates must perish and vanish away. But we can write a few words upon plates which will give our children and also our beloved brethren a small degree of knowledge concerning us or concerning their fathers." And the reason that's important is because you think about what they did, they engraved on plates. they had to think about what to engrave. They couldn't engrave everything. They had to be very judicious. So they picked out the things that were most important, that were most significant to put on the plates. Now in this thing we do rejoice, and we labor diligently to engrave in these words upon plates, hoping that our beloved brethren and our children will receive them with thankful hearts and look upon us, that they may learn with joy and not sorrow, neither with contempt concerning their first parents. For for this intent have we written these things, that they may know that we knew Christ, and that we had a hope of his glory many hundred years before his coming. And not only we ourselves had a hope of his glory, but also all the holy prophets which were before us. Behold, they believed in Christ and worshiped the Father in his name, and also we worship the Father in his name. And for this intent we keep the law of Moses, it pointing our souls to him. And for their cause it is sanctified unto us for righteousness, even as it was accounted unto Abraham in the wilderness, to be obedient unto the commands of God in offering up his son Isaac, which is a similitude of God and his only begotten Son. Wherefore we search the prophets, and we have many revelations, and the spirit of prophecy, and having all these witnesses, we obtain a hope, and our faith becometh unshaken, insomuch that we truly can command in the name of Jesus, and the very trees obey us, or the mountains, or the waves of the sea. Nevertheless, the Lord God showeth us our weakness, that we may know that it is by his grace and his great condescensions unto the children of men that we have power to do these things. And the reason I wanted to bring that to us to start us off today is that these very plates that were engraven, the very thoughts that they put on them, were for our benefit, for our soul's welfare, and as a testimony to us that they knew the gospel, that they knew Jesus even before he came, that they knew that the law of Moses was pointing to the birth of Christ and that great and last sacrifice, and that Abraham, being an obedient servant, when he offered up Isaac on an altar, was a similitude of God offering up his only begotten Son as a sacrifice for our sins. That all these things happened so that we could receive this with thankful hearts. And you know, I want to kind of shift gears on us a little bit to kind of help us with this thought of thankfulness. You know, they lived in wilderness, and they had homes. It's a little bit more modern here. I'm going to read in Philippians, but the Apostle Paul was in prison in Rome. And we think of prisons, and I don't know how many of you have actually seen modern day prisons, that they're not nice places, and people are, you know, confined there. They can't go back and forth like they want. But even then, the space that they're allowed, the conveniences that they have are greatly they're vastly better than what was in Paul's day. It's been quite some time ago, it was a little over 15 years ago, that I was in Italy on business, and I was able to take a weekend And I actually went and saw the prison where Paul was held in Rome. They still have those artifacts that they preserve that the Italian people have been very good about preserving Roman history. And granted, those back then, the humans in general were smaller people, but the, you know, you couple the lack of technology with how small their confinement was, how barren, how desolate, and you wonder, how could people endure that? And I want to read you something. I'm going to read the third and the fourth chapters of Philippians because they kind of go together here and it's important. But I want you to hear Paul's writing. And he wrote this when he was in that prison. But listen to his attitude. Listen to what he was focused on and how, if you can get a feeling for it, how he felt. Start here, first verse, third chapter of Philippians. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous. But for you, it is safe. You know, so he's saying, you know, he's saying, trust me, I don't get bored writing the same thing over and over to you. And for you, it's safety and security. So both of us are getting benefit from my letters. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. And, you know, when he says beware of dogs, he's not talking about the animal dogs here. He's talking about people who act as dogs. They run in packs and they look around for what they can tear up. You know, gangs, bullies is kind of what we have today. It's very much the same thing. The beware of the concision of... Concision, the ancient meaning of that was tearing apart or division, a separation. So I think what Paul was trying to get across to them is beware of these groups of people going about sowing evil among you, trying to divide you up, to get you to fight against each other, to destroy the church. Don't let them do it. Don't give them a foothold. So if you kind of have an idea of what Paul's trying to get them set up for, and then we'll continue on here with the fourth verse. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath, whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew, of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. So, he's given you a little bit of what his background is. You know, he says, I myself, I was circumcised the eighth day, been a Jew all of my life, I'm of the house of Israel, you know, a Hebrew's Hebrew, if you will, and a Pharisee by training. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. You know, if you want to know what kind of how zealous I am, think about my past and how zealously I persecuted the church. Touching righteousness, which is in the law, blameless. And, you know, and that's the other thing is that, okay, I was zealous, I persecuted the church, but when it comes to righteousness, I'm blameless. but why? But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. That's what turned his life around, the fact that he realized that the things that he was getting personal gain from, thinking that Christ was not who he was at the time, were actually a loss. He had to, when he was converted on the road to Damascus, he found out that who he was persecuting was not evil. He thought he was doing away with evildoers, and he found out that in fact that wasn't the case. He was an instrument of evil in the hands of the evildoers. He had to change. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. But if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. In other words, that I might get a hold of the things that Jesus got a hold of me to pursue. Think about that a little bit. That Jesus called us. He got a hold of us, if you will. And the purpose he got a hold of us is that so that we could pursue and get a hold of righteousness. That we could lay our grasp on salvation. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before. And in other words, leaving the old man and becoming the new, looking to the future that God wants us to have, not the future necessarily that we chose for ourselves. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so, as ye have us for an ensample. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. In other words, all they're looking for is what they can get out of this life, what they can consume to satisfy their wants today. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for my joy and crown. Now let me read that again. Therefore, my dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. And he he's entreating them, but at the same time, he's saying, you know what, I miss you guys, and I care about you, and I want to see you when I go to meet God. I want you to be there. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they may be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. You know, and again, he's talking to him about, don't worry about things. Don't be concerned about it. Say your prayers and give thanks. Understand what God has done for you. Even when you're in a trial, recognize what he's done for you. And put the things on him. Let him take the load. Let him help you out. Let your request be made known. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And this is a man who's trying to focus us on thinking about the good things in life, thinking about anything that we can find that's positive. And he's writing this from about maybe a 6x8 cell that's humid and damp and musty and dirty. It's ground contact, but it doesn't have nice walls. It's ground contact, and it's ground. And he's in here writing a letter or dictating a letter that somebody else is writing, trying to focus the different congregations on the good things in life, knowing that wherever you are, whatever your circumstance, there is surely something to be thankful for. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. In other words, Paul had a lot of confidence in the example that he'd set. And not in arrogance, but just understanding that he had worked so hard to set an example for them of personal conduct that he felt comfortable saying, those things that you both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do those things. Follow the example that you saw me do. Follow the example of Christ that I've told you about. And the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly. And now that at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. And again, it's because I've actually been there and I've seen this place. It boggles my mind. His ability to write this, knowing where he was physically. But knowing where he was spiritually, I'm not surprised. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now, ye Philippians, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches, in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. So, you know, that's the closing of his letter to the Philippians, but if you heard, you know, within him saying, you know, yeah, I'm in hard times, but I have so much to be thankful for. I'm thankful for you Philippians, because of the stories, the things that I've heard of you, the good reports, because of the things that you've sent me, showing that you're thinking of me and that you care. All these things fill my heart to overflowing, and I have great confidence because of the things that I see, that what you're doing is leading a life well-pleasing to God. And he's given you the salutes, even the saints that are in Caesar's household, because he was right there. They would come to see him to kind of pay their respects, if you will. They couldn't get him out of prison because, you know, that wasn't within their power, but they could come and see him and visit and let him know that they too were believers. I'm not going to read it. I'll refer you to Jonah. Think about Jonah and his things. And sometimes Jonah had anger issues. He was a little bit angry about things and the people of Nineveh. But he refused to talk to the people of Nineveh, didn't want to tell them what God had for him to say. And so he got swallowed up in the belly of the fish. And he kind of figured out, you know, this is kind of stinky and nasty and, you know, got seaweed wrapped around my head and stuff, and this isn't so good. And so he prayed and was thankful and committed to do the things that were on his plate. And God spoke to the fish, and the fish threw him up. Literally. I mean, he was vomited out by the fish after he'd said the prayer and said, you know what? I am thankful. I'll do what you ask. Okay? He committed to do what he was told. Boom. He was back on the road. Of course, he still had some things, because when the people repented, he was angry about it because he wanted them to get destroyed. He'd have gone through a lot of suffering to tell that to them, and then here they went and repented. But again, understand, he was so focused on the fact that he had suffered and that he was given a message to them, that he wanted the message to be delivered in full, but when they repented, God says, no, wait a minute. I said that if they'd repent, I'd stop. And they did repent, so I'm stopping. And, you know, he was a little bit bent about that. But at the same time, he had thankfulness in his heart, even in the belly of the fish. Okay, and I want to read another thing. Many of you know about Ammon and his brethren. They went, there were the people of, Anti-Nephi Lehi, and they had gone off and left Zarahemla and gone off to somewhere else to live, and they wanted to know whatever became of them because they hadn't heard. So a group of people actually went to hunt for them, to find out if they were okay and how things had turned out for them. Of course, it had been quite some time. And so I'm going to go over to the 14th chapter of Alma. And read a few verses here. And I'm going to have to stop. Let's see. Good place to start. I'm going to do a lot of reading. I apologize if I'm boring y'all, but I feel like I need to back up quite a ways here to the verse 88, and my book, it's on page 398. And we're in the 14th chapter of Alma, and we're going to start at verse 88. Blessed be the name of our God. Let us sing to his praise. Let us give thanks to his holy name, for he doth work righteousness forever. For if we had not come up out of the land of Zarahemla, these our dearly beloved brethren who have so dearly beloved us would still have been racked with hatred against us. Yea, and they would also have been strangers to God. This is, you know, something that Ammon was saying that he said, you know what, we came up here and these things happened. If we hadn't left to find out what happened to these people, they'd still be mad at us. And they'd still be strangers to God. They wouldn't know the gospel. And, you know, when he said that, and it came to pass when Ammon had said these words, his brother Aaron rebuked him, saying, Ammon, I fear that thy joy doth carry thee away into boasting. You know, it's kind of like, you know, take it easy here, bud. You don't want to cross the line. It's good to rejoice, but don't get to the point where you think so highly of yourself. But Ammon said unto him, I do not boast in my own strength or in my own wisdom, but behold, my joy is full. Yea, my heart is brim with joy, and I will rejoice to my God. Yea, I know that I am nothing, as to my strength I am weak. Therefore I will not boast of myself, but I will boast of my God. For in his strength I can do all things. Yea, behold, many mighty miracles have we wrought on this land, for which we will praise his name forever. Behold, how many thousand of our brethren has he loosed from the pains of hell. And they were brought to sing redeeming love, and this because of the power of his word, which is in us. Therefore, have we not great reason to rejoice? Yea, have we reason to praise him forever, for he is the Most High God, and has loosed our brethren from the chains of hell. Yea, they were encircled about with everlasting darkness and destruction, but behold, he has brought them into his everlasting light, yea, into everlasting salvation, and they are encircled about with the matchless bounty of his love. Yea, and we have been instruments in his hands of doing this great and marvelous work. Therefore let us glory, yea, we will glory in the Lord. Yea, we will rejoice, for our joy is full. Yea, we will praise God, our God, forever. Behold, who can glory too much in the Lord? Yea, who can say too much of his great power, and of his mercy, and of his long suffering towards the children of men? Behold, I say unto you, I cannot say the smallest part which I feel. Who could have supposed that our God would have been so merciful as to have snatched us from our awful, sinful, and polluted state? Behold, we went forth even in wrath, with mighty threatenings to destroy his church. Oh, then why did he not consign us to an awful destruction? Yea, why did he not let the sword of his justice fall upon us and doom us to eternal despair? Oh, my soul, almost as it were, fleeth at the thought. Behold, he did not exercise his justice upon us, but in his great mercy hath brought us over that everlasting gulf of death and misery, even to the salvation of our souls. And I'm going to stop there for a minute, just to remind us who Ammon and Aaron are. They were two of the sons of Alma. No, they weren't two of the sons of Alma. They were two of the men who were with Alma, the son of Alma, going about to destroy the church when they were all struck down and brought to a knowledge of the truth. And the reason that happened was because there was a group of people, Alma the father among them, who gathered together for prayer services for the specific intent of asking God to bring forth a miracle in the lives of these young men who had gone astray and were seeking to destroy the church. They didn't ask God to go kill them because they were trying to destroy the church. They asked God to make them see the truth. And then it was their choice whether or not they'd be destroyed. And I don't want to go through that whole story today, but I just want you to remember, this is who is speaking here. This Ammon was one of those men. And he is so thankful and full of rejoicing that he is almost on borderline. You know, he is boasting in God's strength, but his brother Aaron is kind of saying, well, take it easy here. We don't want to get to the point where we're committing sin here by boasting in what we've done. We have to acknowledge. And I understand exactly what Aaron was saying, and I'm so glad that Ammon said what he said. Because I've seen in my life things that cause me that level of rejoicing. And a couple of times in meetings where things happened, and having lived so far away from Independence for so many years, I'm not aware of all the things that go on always, and I come into situations where I find myself not understanding what has gone on before. And I'll have to say that I'm kind of an observer of the human condition, and I see things happen. I saw a thing happen in a service where I was among those who were serving the sacrament, and there was something unfolded in the meeting, and a person was missed, was not served the sacrament, and it was by intent of the person who was serving the sacrament, because there was something going on there. But the person who was not had not received the sacrament, I don't want to just say wanted it. That person needed it. Needed it like we need the breath we breathe. Person was going through a really rough time in their life, and they needed that emblem, that remembrance of that covenant that was made that must be honored to help get their life straight. It was important. And I saw another brother who was aware of this go present the sacrament. I'm not sure how many people in the room even noticed that it happened. But to me, it was a powerful testimony of how God puts things in hearts for His own glory, not for our own judgment, but for His glory, to help, to restore those who are wounded and potentially lost. And so, when I read this passage, it reminds me of that circumstance, and many others, but that one in particular I wanted to bring this morning because of the things that happen in lives that so often are overlooked in a moment can be turned to thanksgiving. And now, behold, my brethren, what natural man is there that knoweth these things? I say unto you, there is none that knoweth these things, save it be the penitent. Yea, he that repenteth and exerciseth faith, and bringeth forth good works, and prayeth continually without ceasing. Unto such it is given to know the mysteries of God. Yea, unto such it shall be given to reveal things which never have been revealed. Yea, and it shall be given unto such to bring thousands of souls to repentance, even as it has been given unto us to bring these our brethren to repentance. Now do you remember, my brethren, that we said unto you... No. Let me start again on the 105th verse. Now do you remember, my brethren, that we said unto our brethren in the land of Zarahemla, we go up to the land of Nephi to preach unto our brethren, the Lamanites. And they laughed us to scorn. For they said unto us, do you suppose that you can bring the Lamanites to the knowledge of the truth? Do you suppose that you can convince the Lamanites of the incorrectness of the traditions of their fathers, as stiff-necked people as they are, whose heart delights in the shedding of blood, whose days have been spent in the grossest iniquity, whose ways have been the ways of a transgressor from the beginning? Now, my brethren, you remember that this was their language. And moreover, they did say, let us take up arms against them, that we may destroy them and their iniquity out of the land, lest they overrun us and destroy us. But behold, my beloved brethren, we came to the wilderness not with the intent to destroy our brethren, but with the intent that perhaps we might save some few of their souls. Now when our hearts were depressed, so they got discouraged along this path. They, you know, when they left to go, they were mocked. Now you think about that. The people mocked these guys for trying to go out and restore somebody. And they were considered, they were considered a righteous people. Or at least more righteous than the Lamanites. But in spite of that, they mocked these brothers because they said, hey, we're going to go out. Now, when our hearts were depressed and we were about to turn back, behold, the Lord comforted us and said, go amongst thy brethren the Lamanites, and bear with patience thine afflictions, and I will give unto you success. And now behold, we have come, and been forth amongst them, and we have been patient in our sufferings, and we have suffered every privation. Yea, we traveled from house to house, relying upon the mercies of the world, not upon the mercies of the world alone, but upon the mercies of God. And we have entered into their houses, and taught them, and we have taught them in their streets, yea, and we taught them in, up on their hills, and we have entered into their temples and their synagogues and taught them. and we have been cast out, and mocked, and spit upon, and smote upon our cheeks, and we have been stoned, and taken, and bound with strong cords, and cast into prison, and through the power and wisdom of God, we have been delivered again. And we have suffered all manner of afflictions, and all this, that perhaps we might be the means of saving some soul. And we suppose that our joy would be full, if perhaps we could by the means of saving some, could be the means of saving some. You know, so that was like, hey, we came here just to see if anybody would listen, to see if anybody would be converted. Now behold, we can look forth and see the fruits of our labors. And are they few? I say unto you, nay, they are many. Yea, we can witness of their sincerity because of their love toward their brethren and also towards us. For behold, they had rather sacrificed their lives than even to take the life of their enemy. And they have buried their weapons of war deep in the earth because of their love towards their brethren. And now behold, I say unto you, has there been so great love in all the land? Behold, I say unto you, nay, there has not, even among the Nephites. For behold, they would take up arms against their brethren. They would not suffer themselves to be slain. But behold, how many of these have laid down their lives, and we know that they have gone to their God because of their love and of their hatred to sin. Now, have we not reason to rejoice? Yea, I say unto you, never were men that had so great reason to rejoice as we since the world began. Yea, and my joy is carried away even unto boasting in my God, for he has all power, all wisdom, and all understanding. He comprehendeth all things, and he is merciful, a merciful being, even unto salvation, to those who will repent and believe on his name. Now if this is boasting, even so will I boast. For this is my life, and my light, my joy and my salvation, and my redemption from everlasting woe. Yea, blessed is the name of my God, who has been mindful of his people, who are a branch of the tree of Israel, and has been lost from its body in a strange land. Yea, I say, blessed be the name of my God, who has been mindful of us, wanderers in a strange land. And now, my brethren, we see that God is mindful of every people, in whatsoever land they may be in. Yea, he numbereth his people, and his bowels of mercy are over all the earth. Now this is my joy and my great thanksgiving. Yea, and I will give thanks unto my God forever. Amen. So, Ammon was... you know, just busting at the seams because he was happy. They'd gone off. They'd been in prison. They had a lot of things happen to them. They had seen their people who had come out of the land of Zarahemla. They had seen the Lamanites. They had preached. They had many things happen. And all of this had happened after they were ordained to the ministry, after they were converted, after they'd been struck down because they were such wicked young men, and they were struck down only because of the prayers of the saints on their behalf to show them the truth. And what I want to point out is these young men had been raised in the church. They were raised in the church. They were the children of good people. Alma, who, you know, was one of the folks, Alma, the son of Alma, you know, he was the son of a member of the ministry, the man who was converted by the words of Abinadi as he sat in court under King Noah. and he was one of the judges there, and he said, no, we can't execute this man. He's a righteous man, and because of that, they threw him out, and they sought to take his life. And as many people as believed what Alma believed went off in the wilderness, and they started the church. And this is the next generation after that. And it's sometimes we forget. We think that people who were raised in the church are just, they know it. But I got to tell you, it ain't necessarily so. They may not know and understand what you think they know and understand. You may know and understand it, but that doesn't mean they do. And maybe they need somebody to pray for them that the Lord would show them the truth. So that they might be converted. And maybe they might be called to the ministry. And maybe they might go out into the world to preach to those who hate us. That maybe they might be converted. That they might have this experience. Think about that. Think about that expansion of thankfulness that goes from one to the next, because you cared enough to pray for somebody who was struggling, who should know the truth, but sure isn't living it. Maybe they need the Lord to come visit them. Maybe they need a testimony of the truth. Maybe they need converted. And by your voice of prayer, something like this can happen. It's possible. Don't ever believe it's not possible. It's possible. I want to close by reading the 100th Psalm. It's short and it's quick. But it's something to get us to understand the great joy and thankfulness we should have. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Thank you so much for being in this morning, and I love you all. And let's go into this holiday season where we commemorate the birth of our Lord and Savior with great thanksgiving and praise.
Thank you, Benny. And I know we have a lot to be thankful for, and definitely a lot to be thankful here for this morning. Appreciate the words and definitely the story of the four sons of Mosiah and Alma. I think is a phenomenal story, definitely one that I enjoy a lot and have always enjoyed, and I appreciate all the message that you brought for us today. So with that, I think it would